let it play out. We'll let it play out. Kia ora, Peter. How are you?
I am very well, thank you, Matthew. Yeah. Doing well.
Waiting for the rain. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's been such a busy day. I didn't actually even clock that we're having tornadoes tonight.
Yes, not a sign of them as yet. I'm sad to say, but never mind. We can live at home.
Yeah. Well, they've finally removed some of the covers from these windows at the BFM studio. I can look out. And we're in a very, very brutalist concrete building here, and yes, I think we'll be okay. But, you know, I am a bit of a, I do like to kind of, the excitement of the idea of tornadoes, but I'm not sure how close I really want to get. We'll see.
Fair enough, yes. Well, I don't think you're going to get remotely close to it, but there we are.
I do love Wizard of Oz, one of my favourite movies, but that's by the by. yes. How's things? What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about the Pope's little jaunt into Asia.
Okay.
Because I think there's some interesting factors about the Pope's visit to, where did he go? Indonesia, East Timor, Papua New Guinea, mm-hmm. and then finally to Singapore. So four countries.
Right.
Actually, strangely enough, the New Zealand investigation into abuse had demanded the Pope make an extra visit to New Zealand to apologise for all the mistreatment that Catholic victims had experienced.
Right.
But I don't think papal visits get arranged quite as promptly and at the detail, you know, the order of a government agency.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we are. So very interesting because they're four very, very different contexts.
Yeah, tell me more.
In Indonesia, you know, a very small Catholic minority, although in one of the most populous countries of Asia. So the main feature of that event was a visit to a mosque for talks about the things that you talk about at interfaith gatherings. Climate change, I think, was the major topic.
Right.
The second visit was to East Timor, which was, until a few years ago, part of Indonesia. And here he had, there's an astonishing picture of the mass that he took part in East Timor, where half the island's population, 600,000 people, came with umbrellas and sat, because of the scorching heat.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
And took part in this mass. 600,000 people in a mass is a phenomenal, beggar's imagination, and it's quite an interesting photograph of all those umbrellas up. And I take it that they heard clearly, but they can't have seen a lot. Then thirdly, he went to PNG. PNG, not normally on a sort of papal location, there are, and he went to tribal villages, which seems
really
very different indeed from the other visits. But I think the concern there was to mobilize Catholics to be elements of peace in a country that seems, in a way, to be falling apart at the moment.
Right.
And then the final stage of the journey was to Singapore, where Catholics form, I believe, 2.5% of the population, but it's a very large population, and where the most interesting aspect of that visit was that he made some very off-the-cuff remarks about all religions leading to God, which didn't go down well with some Catholics for whom, outside the church, there is no salvation at all. So four very interesting visits, and for an old man at 87 and pushed around in a wheelchair for the whole time, in the villages
of Papua New Guinea, no less. Yeah, wow.
Well, that's right, yes. But symbolically quite significant because, in a way, he's hedging close to China. And I think there was even a bit of speculation, was there a secret visit to China being planned?
Mm.
And there certainly was some movement from China while he was over there. They recognized the 95-year-old Catholic bishop. There's been a sharp difference between the bishops recognized by the Pope and the bishops appointed by the communist government. and the Communist government made a concession of recognising a 95-year-old. One may argue it'll make very little difference because the 95-year-old is not going to be able to do a great deal. But there wasn't a visit to China, right. And I think probably that would be just too difficult. It's intriguing the way in which...
Although he doesn't seem to be shying away from things that are clearly difficult, like going to remote villages and...
That is true. Yes, I think in many ways, for a man of that age who would normally be sitting at home in an old people's home, you know, he is a remarkable the way he keeps struggling on against increasing ill health to be in strategic places. And I think the interesting thing is the strategic places in Asia, because there's not been an Asian visit by a pope for quite a long time. And I think the pope is reckoning that, you know, the world attention is turning in the Asian direction. And he wants to make sure that the church is in a good place for the future in Asia.
And also probably, some Asian countries obviously having very, very, very strong Catholic populations, yes, probably also surely just sort of making sure that they're not, don't feel left out, I don't know, trying to imagine.
Yes, I suppose so. But remember that the most Catholic country of Asia is the Philippines.
Yeah,
far and away. Well, I suppose East Timor, but it's such a small country. Mm. And he didn't go to the Philippines. Oh. Mind you, they've had plenty of papal visits over the years.
They've had their turn, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. So that probably wasn't his priority. I mean, in each case, it seems like a visit that was put together with a bit of diplomacy in mind, because a very intriguing that he would go in Indonesia, a way that would go appeal to the Indonesian government, that he would want to have some interfaith conversations. And, I mean, I'm sure the climate change resolution is not going to change anything, but it indicates that interfaith can go on, but it's best to go on areas of mutual concern.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. Because if the faiths would only work together, they could bring pressure on governments, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I'm just thinking about what you're saying there and thinking in many ways it's very, very good to try and find those common grounds, and that's exciting. But then also in environments where we're trying to make sure that maybe religious bodies don't have strong-arm sway on governments, it's also... You know, you think, well, I'm sure it's very exciting that they're good and healthy to talk about those things, but, you know...
Yes, you have to remember that the Indonesian constitution is a really quite interesting affair, because it places considerable emphasis upon religious foundations to the peoples that have come from a very wide variety of cultural backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so it emphasises that the four recognised religions will be mutually able to work together. Mm. Now, in fact, what we've seen a great deal in Indonesia over the past 20 years has been increasingly Muslim dominance and Muslim discontent with this kind of operation of the constitution. And especially, you might recall, in Aceh province, there's been vigorous Muslim abuse of other religions, especially Christians.
Right.
And then there are a lot of tensions around in Bali, where, because much of Indonesia was once Hindu before the Muslims arrived.
Okay.
And Bali remains that little enclave of Hindus that remain, though there are Hindus scattered through the whole of Indonesia. Hmm. And so there's lots of potential tensions on religion. And in a way, what the Indonesian government needs to do is stick with its vision. But, you know, it's wanting to get votes from the Muslim majority anyway. So that's a factor.
Hmm.
The most secular of the countries, the one most resembling, say, Australia and New Zealand, would be Singapore. And that is both extraordinarily ethnic diversity and real religious diversity.
Yeah.
Have you visited Singapore?
On a technicality, I have. The first time I ever
been at Changi Airport.
I was the first time in my life I'd ever got drunk. I was 20 years old, and I was moving to London, and we went to Singapore and bought one of those silk suit pajama suits from the from the souvenir store, and yeah, that's the only time I've been to Singapore though. So I kind of know.
Not a deep exposure to its culture.
No,
I think, no. So in Singapore, I mean, there's an enormous abundance of religions and new religions, and a great deal of lively debate that goes on and religious competition. It's much more religiously free than almost anywhere else in Asia. So Christians, Muslims, both extremely active in evangelizing other parts of the population.
Interesting.
And there's these, you know, for the Christian scene, huge mega churches, very similar on the lines to Australian or American churches. So in that context, he wants to make sure that Catholicism is very much part of the fabric. But it's all the way along, he made off-the-cuff speeches. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was provided with scripts. He doesn't like scripts. And
well, he goes off script, even just sort of not as a turn of phrase too. You know, he goes, he's an off script guy.
That's right.
And sometimes to
That's right.
people's outrage, and sometimes to people's delight, depending on who the people are.
Yeah, precisely. And of course, if he's near a telephone, you don't know who he's going to ring up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very fascinating style, which clearly puts traditionalists in the Vatican, let alone in the wider Catholic Church, into apoplexy, because what is he going to say or do next? And I guess what he's going to do is a bit limited when you're in a wheelchair. But
well, yeah, I mean, yes, he's. But he seems to be, I mean, just the fact, I keep coming back to this idea of going to these rural villages in what's considered a country in upheaval. I'm impressed.
That is a truly impressive step. And symbolically, it's a step to all the countries that are in chaotic situations where national governments are weak and tribalism is strong. And that could speak for most of Africa as well, couldn't
yeah.
it? So, yes. He's prepared to go to places where his voice needs to be heard and where there's not going to be a vast Catholic population.
Mm.
And so I think visits like this keep that side of the Catholic Church contemporary, connected, involved, and send off signals which may have very little in the actual content, but symbolically speak a great deal.
Well, also, you know, how many millions of people sort of listen to him as well, you know, in terms
That's
of,
true. That's
you
true.
Know, he's yep. the one updating the rules. So, you know, hearing that there's talk about, you know, lots of mutual talk about things like climate change, you know, I've read firsthand some bizarro, let's again, American Christian kind of takes on things like climate change and saying it doesn't matter because you know we shouldn't care about the world too much because Jesus is coming back anyway and it doesn't matter. And I just think it just drives me mad. Yeah.
Well, precisely. I mean, talk about misfiring and saying nothing tells you what you think of the rest of the world, doesn't it?
yeah.
Speaks volumes, and that you couldn't say about this Pope.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
You know, we'll watch it. I think that's. I'm impressed and impressed that he didn't take a bulletproof limousine to the into the rural villages. I think that's cool.
That's right. And nobody chased him with guns to try and assassinate him either.
Yes, or arrows. Yeah.
There we are. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm going to play a song now if my computer works for. I'll dedicate this to you, Peter. This is from Lawrence Arabia, a song called I Hope the Pope Makes You a Saint.
Hey, very good.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, let's see if this works. Thank you so much, Peter. Talk soon.
Bye.
Oh, it's working. Thank you. That's putting that one out to Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, who every week scours the globe for the hottest religious gossip out and dishes up the tea for us here. After the break, we have got BFM News, weather, and if we're lucky, surf.
Get in, loser. We're going to Drive Island at the Alan Melville Centre Friday, September 20, from 4 till 7 p.m.
95BFM has your Friday plans sussed with Drive Island, bringing you grungy sounds from four-piece band Buzz and meditative tunes from the entrancing Eliza.
Drive Island at the Alan Melville Centre, Friday, September 20, from 4 till 7 p.m.
And food and twine, books, clothes, vape supplies, and oil and butter, drug testing, my brother.
Mr. Nip, you gotta keep.
Experience the Hemp Store at 253 Karangahape Road. Open 7 days. For nationwide delivery, visit hempstore.co.nz or call 0800 Hemp Store. Now with doctors on site, consulting and dispensing Fridays and Saturdays.
The Hemp Store on K Road is what you need. The funk with my mom.
Great news! Damn Native's influential album, Kaupapa Driven Rhymes Uplifted, is being reissued on vinyl. Even better news, you could win it! 95BFM have our hot little hands on the vinyl and it could be yours. Just listen in to 95BFM Breakfast all week and keep your B-card handy. Damn Native, Kaupapa Driven Rhymes Uplifted, available where good music can be found.
The world-famous True School Hip-Hop Show.
Thursday nights, take a deep dive into all things hip-hop with BFM's True School, checking in on current and historical flows, beats, and grooves, both local and international. A Radio B institution spanning decades of solid cuts, and the one show to know.
We like the breeze, float straight out of our lids.
True School Hip-Hop Show.
Keeping you clued in on what's fronting in the world of hip-hop.
True School Hip-Hop Show.
Who you calling a bitch?
Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. with Get Ban, Luz, Max, Barry, and Ev Love in the area.
On 95BFM.
BFM News.
Ahi ahi marie, good afternoon. Ko Sofia tōku ingoa, ko te rima karaka, it's 5 o'clock. In an announcement made today on New Zealand's exchange and Australian Securities Exchange, Auckland Airport revealed a planned $1.4 billion equity raise. The raise is intended to fund the airport's ongoing capital investment program, which will include replacing and updating aging infrastructure, upgrades to the airfield and runway, and improvements to connectivity between international and domestic services. years. It will also include a new domestic jet terminal, projected to cost around $2.2 billion of the overall $6.6 billion planned for the investment program. Alcohol licences across Auckland will be subject to a two-year freeze beginning Monday as part of Phase 1 of Auckland Council's local alcohol policy. Applications for new off-licences, which relate to the selling of alcohol on one premise for the consumption elsewhere, as well as discretionary conditions for existing licences, will not be granted past today, regardless of when applications were filed. The freeze will apply to Auckland areas most vulnerable to alcohol-related harm, effectively preventing the opening of new shops. These areas include the CBD as well as 23 other town centres. And in international news, 281 prisoners have escaped a jail in Maiduguri, Nigeria, after floods brought down walls of the facility. Nigeria's northeastern city of Maiduguri suffered devastating floods earlier last week after a dam overflowed due to intense rains. According to spokesperson for the Nigeria Correctional Services, Umar Abubakar, the floods collapsed several walls of jail, including the medium security custodial centre and staff quarters in the city. Recapturing operations are currently underway and have since been successful in the recapture of seven prisoners. And former US president and Republican candidate in the upcoming US elections, Donald Trump, is safe in custody following what the FBI are investigating as a second assassination attempt. This comes as Secret Service say they opened fire at a suspected gunman at Trump's golf resort in Florida. Officials say it is unclear whether the suspect fired shots back. The White House have said that both President Joe Biden and Vice President and Democratic candidate for the upcoming elections, Kamala Harris, have both been briefed and would continue to be updated during the course of the investigation. Ara te kawe pūrongo, and that's the news.
A 95 BFM weather update.
Anei ngā tohu huarere mō tēnei rā, your weather report for today. Thickening cloud with rain developing from afternoon, some heavy later with hail and thunder possible. North to northwesterly winds, an overnight low of 10 degrees. Sunset is at 10 past 6 in the evening. Anei ngā tohu huarere mō te apōpō, your weather forecast for tomorrow, Rātū Tuesday. Cold with showers, a chance of thunder and hail, a cold night and strong west-south-westerlies turning south-westerlies. And that's your news and weather. Ko Sofia tōku ingoa. The time is now 5 minutes past five.
Yeah, man. Cool.
That was a 95 BFM weather update. Thanks to climate change.
From the dark room to the green room, it's the 95 BFM Surf Report. Thanks to ProGear Photographic.
Sorry, Peter, I did a total spoiler there. I put you saying, yeah, mate, cool, on the air by accident. And now everyone knows that how it works. I've already called you. You're here. How are you?
Good, mate. Shall we roll? Yeah, not too bad.
This is good.
Are you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to get out in the tornadoes tonight?
Nah, I'm really home. Just trying to keep warm.
Fair.
I'm just still getting better, so otherwise it would be pretty fun. Yeah. On that note, isn't there some, what's it called, old school movie, Tornado? No.
You're talking about Point Break?
It's like something about chasing tornadoes, and there's like another one came.
Oh, Twisters.
Twister. Four or five? I don't know. Just remind me of that. I don't think we're in store for that, so we should be all right. childhood memories to watching Twister. Right?
Yeah, I'll be getting my Twisters, the sequel, on as I drive home to Point Chevalier from the BFM studios tonight. I'll report back.
Get your harness ready.
Yep, that's right.
Surf.
Tell us about surf.
Yeah, no, unfortunately the swell didn't really eventuate out east, the tiny swell that was maybe going to pop up. Small, but nothing great. And then that sort of carried on. It's tiny as and going flat tomorrow. So 1 out of 10 for tomorrow. Offshore winds, just no swell. And then west, we've got swell pushing through 6 foot plus. Not a lot of period in it, but lots of swell sizes up there. So pushing 6 foot over that. And then the afternoon, looking to lift further, so we'll get bigger sets rolling through. So maxing out on the beaches, and the wind's howling onshore, strong westerly, turning southwest. So all up, 1 out of 10, maxed out onshore conditions. So not there you go. If you want to get out of town, go on a mission, there's potential. I'm not sure if it's quite lining up to be super amazing, but could be worth a go, so there is an option.
All right.
So there you go.
All right, and it's not with a 1 out of 10 in this weather. It's not even a 10 out of 10 for the Crawley scale of nice, calm, warm water for just swimming without worrying about surf. So it's sort of no good for anybody.
It's a double one, right?
Very rare.
Yeah.
Oh well. Hey, thanks for anyway, Pete. It's good for people to know what not to do as well as what to do. So. Cheers for that.
All right. Harness up.
Indeed.
Safe, mate.
And you get better too.
Cheers, mate.
All right, take care.
That was the 95 BFM Surf Report. Thanks to Pro Gear Photographic.
Cowabunga, friend.
Big cuddles to you, Pro Gear Photographic, as well, for your sponsorship of the Surf Report. Without you, we are nothing. Listen, we've got a very, very short amount of time before we speak to the wonderful Thea, so I'm going to play a very, very quick song, and then we will be jumping on the phone. Here is a song from Lisa Crawley, which is Yes Is My Sister, Get Over It. Song's called Hey You, and I want to send a shout out to my sister Lisa, because I'm going to tell you something. She is currently doing piano karaoke at the... It's probably supposed to be a secret, but anyway, don't tell anyone. She's doing the performing at the HBO after party of the Emmys, doing piano karaoke. I'm very excited, so I'll let you know if she ends up singing a duet with Larry David. But you didn't hear that from me. All right, here is Lisa Crawley, and then we'll be back, hopefully, with a little corrido with Thea.
And so it goes, and so.